Sorry about that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope everybody is doing great. For you that are visiting with us, you probably are looking up here and saying, wow, that young good-looking guy does everything here. And you're right. No, and humble, that's right. We welcome all of you guys that are here. Now think back in your life, or think currently. It doesn't really matter which, but this world is filled with examples. Now, all of them may not be good, but examples are all around us, whether it be brethren, whether it be friends, whether it be a stranger. We can get an example, and we can take something from what we see. So today, I'm going to talk to you about examples. An example is defined as a thing or characteristic of its kind, or illustrating a general rule, a person or thing regarded in terms of their fitness to be imitated, or the likelihood of their being imitated. Now, we didn't have someone come up and read a scripture reading, which is totally fine, but we do have somewhat of a scripture reading, which is 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and verse 12. So if you turn there, you would read, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." Now, that's a lesson in and of itself, brethren. So, to break it down a little bit, let's talk about speech for a little bit. How are we talking to people? How is our language? Is it the language of a Christian? You know, I talked a little bit last time I preached about how back in the day it was, if you said a bad word, people were kind of looking weird at you or surprised that, so why would you say that, especially in front of a woman or in front of children? Now it's an everyday thing. It's normal and it's accepted for some reason. So how are we speaking to each other? Is the way that we speak and the way that we converse with each other, is that something that is what you would expect of a Christian? Are we exuding God's love in our speech? Are we talking about God? 2 weeks ago, I was at work, and there's this gentleman that, a little bit younger than me, he's about 25 years old, and he came up to me and he said, "Hey, do you mind if I leave early?" I said, "Well, what time are you off?" He said, "Well, I'm off at 6. It was 3:30. I said, "Okay. Well, there's a shift that came in before you, and they're still here. So what you can do is once they take off, you know, you can leave a little bit after they do, since they've been here earlier than you." And when I tell you that this kid freaked out, not kidding, he freaked out, yelling, cussing in the showroom. Yelling, cussing, freaking out just because he couldn't go home early. So I pulled him in my office, and I attempted to have a conversation with him. Well, it was unsuccessful because the speech that he was using, I had to tell him multiple times, you're not going to talk to me like that. Let's be professional. You're yelling out in the showroom in front of clients, and you're doing this," and he just kept going in, and now he's yelling. And there are people that are out in the showroom that are hearing him from inside the office that are yelling. And I said, "Look, if you're not going to listen and you're not going to be able to talk with me, then there's nothing that we have to say." Putting it into speech is the way that we are conducting. When we hear something that we may not completely agree with, or when we hear something that may make you a little upset, if someone tells you, "Hey, this is what happened," or whatever, and it makes you upset, are you flying off the handle? Are you yelling? Are you throwing a hissy fit? Again, is our speech showing what God's love is? Are we able to keep calm? Are we able to take a second and listen and then say what we're going to say? Are we being kind to one another? Like I was talking about in that story, there was no speaking to him in that moment. He was too upset. Furthermore, are we being pleasant to talk to? If you walk by a stranger, is that someone that you can say, "Hey, how's it going?" Or if someone says hello to you, are you just kind of ignoring them and going and grabbing your carton of milk? So are you listening? And are you talking the way that a Christian should talk? In James, the first chapter in verse 19, it reads, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." So, how are we talking to each other? Conduct. Are we acting like Christians? When we read the Word of God, we see the way that we are supposed to act. We see the way that we are to conduct ourselves. Let me ask you a question. If someone asked an acquaintance of yours, would they say that you're a Christian? Would that be surprising to them? You hear, "Let's talk the talk." Well, how about we walk the walk? When something doesn't go our way, how are we conducting ourselves? Again, back to the story. Are we conducting ourselves that I'm going to ruin everybody else's time, I'm going to be belligerent, and I'm going to do bad things because I'm not getting what I want? Now, I understand that we're not to be robots. We have emotions. We sometimes fall into a certain trap of flying off the handle or getting a little too upset, but that's stuff that we need to work on. That's stuff that we need to be cognizant of. We need to take time, and we need to always keep our focus on God. And we are to look to Him, and we are to look to His Word on how are we supposed to conduct ourselves. Love. Are we living a life of love? Are we being inviting to others? Are we showing compassion? You know, you always hear about, you know, whether it's a song or whether, you know, someone was talking about a friend during a tough time. Well, they were my shoulder. They were a shoulder that I could lean on. Are we being that shoulder for someone to lean on? Are we there, truly there for each other, willing to talk, willing to listen to each other in terms of going through bad times or in terms of day-to-day life? Are we correcting people that we love? Now, some people may take that as, "Oh, you're not loving me because you're telling me that I'm doing something wrong." Well, it's our job, and if we truly love someone, that's what we are doing. We are correcting in an instance that they are doing wrong. That's what love is. We have many, many stories of love. Of course, we read in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes should not perish but have eternal life. But God loves us so much. Now think about that for a second, that God loves you so much that He did this for you. He wants a relationship with you. Now, we are to live a life that is showing God's love. We are to live a life that's saying, "Hey, let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about what I believe and why I believe it." We are to be friendly to each other. We're to be that warm and inviting person. If you see a brother or sister struggling, we are to be there to help. So we are to live a life of love. Purity. Now in Timothy, he's talking about moral cleanness. Now that means that we're doing everything we can to stay away from sinful nature. That we're staying away from the things and people that can be detrimental to our faith and to our Christian walk. Now, many times that may mean that we have to cut off certain people. If they're not helping you in your Christian walk, unfortunately, they shouldn't be helping you in life at all. They shouldn't be a fixture in your life. And now, giving in to these lusts that we have, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, those are things that we face on a daily basis, and those are things that are very hard at times to be able to stand up to. But we are to be pure and do what we can to stay away from the things that are going to hurt us, to stay away from the things that are going to be detrimental to our faith. We're to be morally clean. So being an example, I'll read you guys a song. I love this song. I always read songs when I'm up here, but hopefully you like this one. "Driving through town, just my boy and me, with a Happy Meal in his booster seat, knowing that he couldn't have the toy until his nuggets were gone. Green traffic light turned straight to red. I hit my brakes and mumbled under my breath. His fries went flying and his orange drink covered his lap. Well, then my four-year-old said a four-letter word, started with S, and I was concerned. So I said, 'Son, where'd you learn to talk like that?' We got back home. I went to the barn. I bowed my head and I prayed real hard. Said, 'Lord, please help me help. my stupid self. Then this side of bedtime later that night, turning on my son's Scooby-Doo nightlight. He crawled out of bed and he got down on his knees. He closed his little eyes, folded his little hands, and spoke to God like he was talking to a friend. And I said, "Son, where'd you learn to pray like that?" He said, "I've been watching you. Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We like fixing things and holding mama's hand. Yeah, we're just alike, hey, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do because I've been watching you." Great song. Someone is always watching you. Someone is always watching, whether it be your kids, whether it be brethren, whether it be your physical family, whether it be strangers. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget, hey, there are these little eyes on me. There are these people that are watching me, and we need to be living a life and setting an example that we're a loving person, that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, as Matthew 22 says, that we are to put others first, and that we're to live a life of imitation, that we are to live a life worth imitating. Be the person that you want your kids to be when they grow up. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, in verse 20, it reads, "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of time." You know, I remember when I was younger, I would always hear, well, you're never alone. God is always with you, or Jesus is always with you. You're never by yourself. Well, that's exactly how we're supposed to be. You know, we have times when the kids go to bed, when you're driving in your car by yourself, that you don't think anybody's watching. You don't think anybody's paying attention to what you're doing. Well, God's always with you. So we're supposed to conduct ourselves at all times as a Christian, as someone that God wants us to be. We are to act as close as we can to God. And we're to act as close as we can to the perfect life that Jesus lived. We're to act like they are right next to us. We're to live a life that is of submission, and that's doing what God wants me to do. That's saying, "You're the one that's going to guide me." Parents, if you're living a life like that, and you're constantly saying, "You know what, I'm living my life like Jesus is right next to me," that's something that your kids are going to pick up on, and that those around you will pick up on. It may even cause someone to ask you a question. Now, why do you act the way that you act? And that's how we're supposed to act, like Jesus is always next to us. And then that's when it can lead into the invitation of possibly saving someone. Did your parents ever say that they didn't want you hanging around with someone? Maybe when you were a kid that you were hanging around with someone and they always seemed like they were getting in trouble or doing something. Well, parents are usually wise enough that friends typically share similar interests. So parents, please be involved in your kid's life. Know what's going on. Talk to them, whether it be about school, how they're doing in their personal life. Talk to them about God. Lead by example. Study your Bible. Pray. Have open discussions. You know, one thing that my dad taught when I was first starting to raise Colton was talk about God. Who made that tree? Take him to the beach and say, "Look at how all of this stuff works. Look how everything's in perfect harmony. How is that so?" And then talk about God. So again, in terms of if we're having someone that's in our lives that's detrimental to our Christian walk, that is taking us off our path to righteousness, we need to remember that it tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:33 that do not be deceived, bad company ruins good morals. So are we surrounding ourselves with people who are like-minded? Are we surrounding ourselves with people that are helping us on our walk? Going back to conduct, how are we conducting ourselves? Are we acting the way of a Christian? I'm reminded of what Martin Luther King Jr. said in his famous "I Have a Dream" speech. "I have a dream that my children would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." Well, that's how we're going to be judged, by the content of our character. How well are we acting? How well are we loving God? Because there's no lying to God. Can't say, "Oh, I've been a good Christian," when you haven't been, when you go to judgment day. We need to love God in every part of our life. It's not something that we're doing just on Sunday and just on Wednesday, and that we're being great when we're at services and we're singing out loud, and then we're completely not a Christian on the other days. That's not the way that we're supposed to act. This is a full-time job. This is something that never ceases. This is something that we're always doing in our life, that we're growing closer to God. If you were judged by the way that you conduct yourself in all aspects of life, would you say that you're a good person? Now, it's our job to be a role model for all people that are in our lives. It's our job to teach. It's our job to show the path to Christ. And it's our job to show the hope that lies within us. The perfect example, one that we read about all the time, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, this is a guy that, of course, was God in the flesh. He lived a perfect life, but he went through stuff that we go through. Even though there was temptation in his life, he didn't waver. Again, he was tempted just as we are. In Matthew 4 and verse 1, it reads, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands he will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me.' And Jesus said to him, 'Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him." Jesus was tempted, and he was tempted in the same way. Look at all these riches that you can have. You're hungry? You hungry? Let's have some food. He was tempted just as we are tempted. He, of course, had many followers. He preached great sermons, but he was still let down. But even though he was betrayed, he was lied to, lied about, he was wrongfully convicted, and ultimately unjustifiably killed, he never lost sight of what his mission was. We all have things that are going on in our lives that are there that are going to knock us off our path. We need to know where that path is leading, though. And we need to be able to maneuver those bad times and those temptations that we have. The one thing that I notice that's really good is Jesus was a servant, just as we are to be servants. He still had his mission. He never wavered in what his goal was. He is who we are to pattern our life after. He was loving, strong, and firm in what he believed in. He treated everybody with compassion. He was treating people the way that he wanted to be treated. And even though Jesus was Lord and Savior, again, he was a servant. He had a mission, just like our mission, which is to please God and to keep his commandments. In John, the 13th chapter, verses 12 through 15, it reads, "When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you." We are to pattern our life after Christ. We're to be servants to God. And Jesus was the perfect example for us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 1, "Be imitators of me, for I am of Christ." We are to imitate Christ. And that is what our goal is, and that is what we are to be striving for, being as close to Christ in love, in goals, and in action. And if we can do that, we can get to heaven, where there'll be no more sadness, no more heartache and pain. So if you believe that Christ is the perfect example, and you believe that he is the Son of the living God, and if you believe that it is up to us also to be examples and lights of the world, maybe you've fallen short, but you can change that today by coming and repenting. And that is changing the ways of your life, saying that I'm going to let Jesus be the one that's steering my life, and I'm going to look to him as my example, and that is who I'm going to pattern my life after. And finally be baptized into that commitment to Christ. So won't you come while together we stand and sing.